Great show last night, Mr. Donatelli, the building superintendent, yelled to Johnny while sweeping the building's front steps. Thanks, Johnny hurriedly said back as he shot past him and headed away. As he sped down the sidewalk, Johnny could see Mr. Donatelli turn to a couple of other residents and confer with them, no doubt discussing that Johnny had a show premiere on the television the night before. Though his parents had said very little about his show, Johnny discovered as he left his apartment that everyone in the building was quite aware of it, which could have come only from his parents. This was their way of saying they were proud of him. Dodging the thick morning traffic, Johnny slipped across Broadway and headed toward Benny's All-Nighter, a diner Johnny frequented as often as he could get away with avoiding his mother's cooking. His plan was to suck down a quick breakfast and then hurry on to the writer's room. There was much to do. But actually, he needed coffee more than food. A lot of coffee. He settled on the idea for this week's show around 4:30 a.m., finally falling asleep at 5 a.m., but his fantasy of sleeping in until 10 a.m. had been thwarted by a steady stream of phone calls that had started just after 8 a.m. Charles had called four times, saying that Hogarth demanded to see Johnny right away. Johnny ignored the first three calls, but on the fourth, finally agreed to see Hogarth at 11 a.m. in Hogarth's office, but he might be a little late. More entertainingly, there had been two calls from Johnny's agent. His agent. Though Johnny hadn't bothered to call his agent when he'd had his initial meeting with Hogarth, satisfied that he and Mitchell could handle everything, Johnny did try to reach him after things started to roll toward the first episode. Johnny thought at the very least as a courtesy he should let his agent know what was happening. The agent had not returned the call. That is, until this morning. Johnny ignored both calls, telling his mother to tell his agent he would call back later if he had time. Though it was after 9 a.m. when Johnny entered the diner, he found it crowded, and most disappointing, his favorite booth, farthest from the door under the front windows, was occupied. "What's wrong, Johnny?" Benny asked, reading the disappointment on Johnny's face as he hurried toward him from the other side of the front counter. "Oh, nothing. There's just someone in the booth. You want your usual table?" Benny offered as he slipped around the cash register. Not waiting for an answer, he marched his large girth toward the booth in the rear. Before Johnny could get another word out, Benny had shooed away the two patrons and quickly cleared the table. "Here you are," Benny said to Johnny. "Your usual table." "Thanks," Johnny said a bit shyly, having never before heard it referred to as his table. He slipped into the last booth, his gaze facing forward toward the front door. "Great show last night," Benny said as he wiped down the table with a rag that lived permanently in the apron wrapped like a sausage skin around his huge stomach. "Thank you." Benny moved away, and immediately Lorraine, a pretty young waitress with curly brown hair and a curvy figure that even her shapeless off-white uniform couldn't ruin, took his place and handed Johnny a menu. "Great show last night," she said brightly.